Hello and welcome back to Millennial 2020. Sorry about there were some technical problems so that which delayed our beginning. So that means that this stream is unfortunately only going to be quite short, about half an hour long, because E. Michael Jones is due on at the turn of the hour. So, but in the interim, I think we can probably get a nice intro to this guest achieved. So, Donald, I'm now with Donald from American Zarathustra. So, Donald, welcome to Millennial.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and the same to you. So, you have a YouTube channel called American Zarathustra. Is it on any other platforms first, just before we begin?
Mainly, I'm known for my show called Imperium Art on my YouTube channel. American Zarathustra also has my music, other interviews that I'm doing, but the Imperium Art show is a documentation of the arts movement coming out of the white positive sphere, out of the dissident right. So it's I'm a professional artist and art educator, and so I kind of took it upon myself to essentially grab our narrative before the left does, and to try to create a platform on which I can interview as many artists and content developers that are interested in the arts in our sphere, so that, you know, again, we want to do this really for the future. I don't know if I'll, you know, hopefully 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now, people will be studying Imperium art. And I took it upon myself to coin the term Imperium art, inspired by the book Imperium by Francis Parker Yockey. The idea being that it's a little bold of me to do that. I'm, you know, to name this when there's no name for this movement, but it expresses the trajectory of what we're doing, and it has the sense of the spirit of Western kind and how whites are waking up, having a racial awakening across the globe. And so there's many, many forms of expression and styles, music, art, poetry, etc. But all of it is rooted in consciousness of white genocide. And it's all responding to that in some way. So there's no manifesto. It's basically a platform on which we all the artists collectively co-author what our movement is. You know, that's the idea of it.
And it's obviously you, to some extent, you separate the art from the politics, because at least in terms of the people, you're obviously aware that there are many artists involved in this. It's not just politics and political propagandists. It's also cultural activity. So what would you say about the artists who are involved in the movement thus far, and how would you, you go with that?
Yeah, it's quite large. It's quite wonderful, too. It's an extremely exciting sphere. I would say, for starters, I'm an affiliate of the White Art Collective, and we focus mostly on those creators, but not exclusively. For example, there's a friend named Flash Gorgon in France, who is a meme artist, and he created a group called The Rise of the Art Right, you know. And then you have several artists that are just on their own, like Jurius or various other people. And there's we're discovering many other artists who are sort of white positive or white identitarian artists, and they don't even know about the movement. And so when we show them the platform in the community, it's like coming home. They're elated. So it's quite wonderful. But the White Art Collective itself, I believe, is the most active and vibrant, and I hate to use the word diverse, community, in that, you know, there's, you know, country and EDM and rock and indie. There's poetry, there's literature, there's visual art, there's comics. It's just a really incredible community. And so I co-host the poetry show every other Sunday with my friend Gaius Nullis, and he co-hosts Imperium Art with me usually on Thursdays. So there's just a tremendous, I can say about it, a great diversity. I would say that, you know, when we do the show and we invite guests on, we first of all want to promote them and give them a platform to really spotlight what they do. We always ask them, how did you come to your racial awakening? But then we also have them read Nullis's essay on Imperium Art, which he took the gumption to sort of write down, these are the general theories and concepts that can change over time, but we have to start somewhere. And so if anybody wants to do a deep dive on Imperium art, you would want to go to his website, abnormocracy.com. However, when we get into it, some of the guests, you know, we always start off by saying, please critique Imperium art. Please challenge us. This is not the Donald show. You know, this is about us. We are all co-authoring it. I'm simply providing the platform. I'm an art teacher. I have a really strong sense of art history and how to frame these things. And so everybody does have kind of different levels of political engagement, but every single one of them is white positive, or at least trying to rebel against white replacement. So it's every single show has just gold and gems and wonderful, incredible insights that we don't plan. You know, we do have a sort of a questioning structure. And I do like to know, where are you politically? So, for example, we don't only have artists. There's a gentleman named Gabriel Vinto, for example, who wrote a book basically revamping National Socialism for America today. And so we feel, okay, you know, we want thinkers like that in to dialogue with artists. Artists in history have often dialogued with you know, philosophers and plugged in with the ideas of their day, right? So, you know, of course, we had Richard Spencer on. We talked about fashion for that show. That was a cool, you know, twist on you know, put him in a different context. That was a lot of fun. Tyler Hamilton, Josh Neal. You simply have to go to my YouTube channel and scroll down and see the known and not so well-known artists. But once again, we do focus largely on the white art collective. That's our main community.
You said that everyone involved is white positive, or at least aware of that as an issue. It seems to me that a lot of artists might not want to make explicitly political art, or you know, racially aware art. But it seems also to me that their work could be valuable and dissident just by not being white negative, because the mainstream is so white.
Well, that's our mission, in a sense, is to provide media, culture, the arts, music, etc., to get away from this black pill saturation. And we're just saturated with toxic anti-white media. So, but the question you're posing here is actually right at the core of what we're facing, every artist individually and as a community. It's a very big discussion about how explicit, how based, how intense do you go? And some of us, for example, Jeff Winston is the creator of the White Art Collective, and I can kind of quote him. The theme of the collective essentially is positive us, not negative anyone else. And, you know, that is awesome. That's a really good way to approach this. You know, in Imperium Art, we try to ground ourselves into the continuity of our history and then, you know, envision the future from there, sort of archaeofuturism in art. So, but everybody kind of has to come to terms with, well, how toxic do I want to be, per se, right? I mean, you know, how punk rock do I want to be? How fashy am I going to be? And then where do you draw the line between, okay, if I'm working in the collective, I have to have decorum. I need to respect the collective. It's a family. It's a very wonderful family we have, actually. And, you know, everyone plays a role and we kind of all vibe off of that. And it's just growing exponentially. But then, you know, say on my own, I might want to write a song where I'm really, really, you know, tearing open the JQ or doing some artwork. You can see some of my artwork, of course, at my website, AmericanZarathustra.com, and see some more bold symbolism, you know, digging into like racial esoteric moralization. I work really closely with Mark Brauman, by the way, the Apollonian Transmission. So there's a lot of influences in our political sphere, but it's, yeah, that's kind of the front line for artists is how base do we get? You know, do we show our faces? Do we use our real names? And I would say most everybody is more about making music for our people, for our community, this community here. And that way, you know, we kind of get a better sense of our just mental health and our friendships, our networking. So arts have that effect. It's good. It's natural. It's healthy. And we're so prohibited from talking about our feelings and our anxiety, our anger, all these things. So through the music, visual art, poetry, community, we are becoming whole again, and we're healing in some regard. So I thank you again for having me on the show just to help get that message across.
Well, you're welcome. It's exactly the kind of thing that I want to promote. You mentioned expressing our anger. That might seem, because I can imagine that being manna from heaven for our enemies to say, to hear that, because they could say, they're just angry. They're just hateful.
Yes.
But they, I don't know, leave aside that that would be a ridiculous distortion of the truth. Yeah. The point I wanted to make is artists have often are often rebellious, and cultural movements are often rebellious in their nature, aggressive. But actually, nobody really has a better, let's say, few groups have more reason to be angry than than whites right now, because we are the ones being dispossessed of our countries systematically and very, very brutally. So it surprises me, and this came up with the talk with John Waters, it surprises me that there aren't more creative, arty people getting involved in this kind of thing, because you'd think that if they wanted to rebel against the status quo, the status quo is well, it's anti-white, but it's also, it's everything. It's feminism, it's LGBT, it's multiculturalism. So if you wanted to be a rebel, you would rebel against that stuff, wouldn't you?
You nailed it, man. You nailed it. I was on the No White Guilt show, the after party with Jason Kuna and The Great Order. So I actually designed the logo for that as well, a little side bit there. But on that show, I discussed my article with the White People's Quarterly against postmodernism. And I it's vicious. It's a very vicious article. And it describes how the modern art, the contemporary art establishment, is literally weaponized against whites, Western civilization, traditionalism, Christianity, et cetera, et cetera. So for starters, you know, as an art educator, you know, I'm in that world, which is the arts in a sense is a hyper liberal, it's sort of a liberal virtue signaling orgy, if you will, you know, and it's an environment where they take young creative minds and they weaponize their insecurities. They make it so that you don't have to learn the techniques of the masters. You don't, you know, like your feelings are everything, and oh, you're an artist, and they lie to them and they cheat them. These are people going through the university system, coming out, having a career as a barista at the local coffee shop, because they'll never, you know, it's garbage. And so, you know, it's the literal opposite of everything we're doing. The problem is they're kind of, they've got a screen up that's blocking, like, don't look at the man behind the curtain there, the White Art Collective, you know, where it's their home, and we can provide that for them. It's a very big topic. It's a lot more than the short time I have here, but you can, you know, check out my site and learn a bit more, and perhaps we could talk more about it. I'd really like to have you on Imperium Art as well. So, you know, that if we could arrange that someday, that'd be lovely. But it's an indoctrination thing, just like any other university today, but it has happened slowly. I would say the number one issue is that the arts is totally infiltrated by feminists. And this notion that art itself is feminine is a very dark, twisted way of you know, brutalizing and mutilating our culture on a spiritual level, even. So it's tough.
Would you say that? Well, let's go into that. It's an interesting topic in itself. What are your thoughts on that question? Do you think that art is necessarily either feminine or masculine? Because you take it away.
Art is an umbrella term for human nature, and it is we are, and I don't know how deep you want me to go on this. I could go very esoteric on it, but let's say on a cultural level, it functions to codify the traditions, the stories, religions, folklore, et cetera, et cetera, all the kind of structures of a culture. And the norm of the arts is to master the past of, you know, to carry on the torch to the future, not to reinvent it and deconstruct it and break it down and then make garbage out of all the pieces that you smashed. So, you know, this is the norm in, across the world and in, you know, other civilizations as well. So modernity, I guess, if you will, is sort of the great deconstruction of Western man, Western civilization. So, you know, we have men and women in the world. We're made up of men and women, and each of us being humans will express ourselves. But the true artist is someone who has no choice but to make art because it is who they are in their being. People who want to learn art can do so just as they, let's say you'd look at it like learning a language. If I wanted to speak French, I'd have to put in thousands of hours. And then one day I would have to go to France, you know, and test it out. And then from there I would get even better and better and better. So learning any kind of art form is some kind of a technical language for expression. The question is, what is it you are saying? You know, are you just parroting the bull that your teacher taught you in school? Are you, you know, and not only that, the art institution today, they fund that. They give grants for that. They, you know, there's just as a, to kind of, I don't know, test the waters. I recently submitted something to my local arts funding organization, full on white nationalist. Saying like, can you imagine an art form that could threaten you and your family? What would that be? It's so fringe. And if the arts are truly free and open-minded, and then American Zarathustra, and I would show them my Imperium art. And I haven't heard back from them, you know, so, you know, we'll see. Right. It would be great if that happened, because we artists do have to smash through this wall around us. And we do have to normalize and mainstream white identity. It has to happen. And I don't know if this is true, but I believe we certainly do have power. I'm not sure that we're on the forefront of that. But, you know, the old politics is downstream from culture. A lot of people believe that it's through the arts that we're going to gain better leverage in the culture war. So, but as far as like, as far as male and female, that becomes archetypal. That's psychological. That's sexual, obviously. There's, you know, how you relate to your own identity and your parents, your lovers, da, 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 all that other stuff. So that's very intimate and private and personal. But in Imperium art, we make, you know, white survival and the white Imperium, our sovereignty, our future. That is core to our message.
Right. Okay. I mean, it is an interesting topic, and I've heard various people talking about it over the years, about the nature of, you know, art and creativity, because obviously women always have the option to create life, create babies, mm-hmm. whereas for men they can't do that. So yeah. Art is a version. It's often spoken about as men's equivalent of that. So it's an interesting topic, but we can go into it another time. What would you want for the future of Imperium art?
Mm-hmm. My really, truly perfect fantasy, I guess, of like a utopian future is I don't know if this is a really good term to use, but a kind of white globalism per se, where to turn a phrase, right? Where everyone from, you know, New Zealand to the far reaches of Russia are all aware of their cultural, spiritual, genetic roots together as a people. Whites are a minority on Earth, right? But yet we've created the modern world. We put a robot on Mars. English is the global language. You know, we all know these things, but my thinking is that we should be more isolationist. We should not share our technology, education, medicine, anything. We should totally take care of our own. And some people might think that's kind of cruel, but the problem is we're so, we're so compassionate and loving and helping and virtue signaling with other cultures that led us to where we are now. So I would want to see a culture, you know, that's sort of ubiquitous among white nations. Now, a really, really important essential thing to know about this is that this has nothing to do with mishmashing everyone into one kind of whiteness. Everybody would clearly have their own ethnic and national identity and express it. And we would all celebrate that together. And I think we kind of do that, and we have done that. But to do it knowing that we are a unique genetic breed on the earth, and, you know, the arts celebrate that. So that's a kind of a rough drawing of what my vision is.
Right, but what about the future for Imperium Art specifically? I mean, obviously, I don't have any objections to what you've just said about the movement more broadly, but what do you want for Imperium Art? And basically, I'm asking that, how can people get on board? How can people help? Because, and what are your plans, if any? I mean, I know it's annoying when people say, well, what are your plans? What are you going to do next? You might not have concrete plans, but what do you broadly want? Yeah.
I do, definitely do. Well, it's already underway. Everything, you know, if we look back at the past year, we've accomplished so much, specifically through the White Art Collective. That is where the action is, as far as artists in the dissident right, alt-right dissident sphere. So everybody is kind of, you know, that's sort of the sun, and it's pulling all the planets in its gravitational pull. And through that, we are collectivizing our talents, our resources, our ideas, our time, et cetera, et cetera. So through White People's Press, we're going to be publishing more. Obviously, on our platforms, we're going to be publishing music. The White Art Collective does numerous shows throughout the week. You know, we have bigger...
They're on DLive, aren't they?
Correct. That's what you would want to do. Yeah, just look up White Art Collective on DLive. We're selling products as well. I feel that, you know, we should talk about getting more into Bitcoin. We should talk more about security issues. We should integrate what we're doing more with things like, say, what you're doing, for example. Like, I would envision something like a kind of like a Lollapalooza of White Art Collective musicians, where there could either be an actual physical concert or an online concert that would be live, you know, and just take all the cards on the table and play them, see what we have. But everything is just going to grow exponentially. You know, we are, in a sense, it's kind of like a big family, and we're all having a big celebration, and people come and they interact and they enjoy it so much. And we need that to balance out all the media that we consume, you know, even just within our own sphere. There's very, very intense media going on. Then there's different camps, different, you know, this person's disagreeing with that and XYZ, but you know, the mood and the tone and the decorum in, say, the White Art Collective is very much family-oriented, where, you know, as I say, this is my personal slogan, is the mission comes first. So I think we as a movement in total are maturing in this way, and I always feel like the arts are kind of the spear end of that, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I've said this for a long time, that I think that the art, because you mentioned this before, that arts are one of the key ways in which we can win the culture war. I also think, though, that you don't even need to look at it in terms of, you know, playing your role in the culture war. You can also just look at it in terms of, you know, if you are an artist, you can look at it in terms of, this is the only place where you can actually be honest. You might not have direct political goals or whatever, but you might well just feel swamped and suffocated by the mainstream, because it is swamping and suffocating and railroading everyone onto the anti-white bandwagon, you know. Yeah. So that I think there must be a lot of artists who are instinctively aware that their creative energy is being co-opted towards a political project, globalism, progressivism, right, that they might well not be very interested in. Or they might even be opposed to it. So I hope that we're able to reach those people for their sake as much as for the sake of the movement. I think that we need art that is actually honest, because basically everything that's coming out is in the mainstream is dishonest, because it is just political propaganda. propping up lies, propping up a completely fictitious version of man that they're hope, well, or whatever, humankind, that they're hoping to make real. But it's not real, and it doesn't relate to what anyone really feels deep down. And it definitely doesn't relate to any, you know, history, because it's never existed before. That this nothingness, this consumer and new man, it's just awful. I mean, it's awful, and it's not even real. So I think that, you know, for anyone who's any artist who's trying to express or characterize or encapsulates the way that life actually is, the way that they feel about the world and being alive in this era, that the mainstream is not the place. It's simply not the place, because it will distort your creative directions.
Clearly. First off, it's actually very sad when you do finally come across an artist that belongs with us and they realize, oh my God, I don't have to be alone anymore. And I almost gave up on this. I was going to go do something else and crush my dreams, you know. But I think I really, really need to get across to your audience that this is about all of us, and that you're sharing these links to the music of, say, Hyrith or For Null or my music or the poetry show by Nullis on Sundays, sharing this media as much as you can, especially in normie sites and domains and groups, etc., is how these other artists are going to find out about it. And I'm telling you, young artists, sort of college age artists, they are impressionable. They've been told that, you know, your feelings make you an artist, not your skills. And they have no ideas. They're cut off from their culture, their history. You know, you get the whole thing. So when they see a whole art community that's already deeply entrenched in our own history and is unashamedly celebrating whiteness in a way that's cool, you know, that's not tacky or silly or cringy, but like damn cool, you know, like when you go check out some of like the EDM shows with DJ Boxcar. Our friend in Australia who passed away this year, Synthesite, you know, extremely cool synthwave style music. It's very contemporary stuff and something for everybody. You know, you've got all kinds of stuff. So when they see this, it's like Christmas every day for them. They realize, oh my God, this is I wish I knew about this earlier. So it really falls on the viewers and the sort of the fans and the consumers of all these dissident right shows to move those links out and get them out as much as we can. This next year, we have to grow. We're already bursting at the seams, like in the art community already, and coming together, crossing over into the UK and Australia and here and there. And my show, I'm happy to say, it has become like a really important kind of platform, almost a cornerstone for that, because people get an hour, 2 hours to just talk about their work, their ideas, their influences, their goals, and then to plug into the whole movement, the Imperium itself, and say, yeah, gosh, I'm part of a much, much bigger thing. This isn't just me and my songs, me talking about, you know, the struggles of being white in today's world. And, you know, that's a profound feeling when you transcend your era and realize we have a future. We're on the front line of this culture war, and our guitars and our paintbrushes and our poems are the weapons. It's really cool.
Excellent. So, well, I guess that answers the question of how people can help as well. But before we end, one last question. What, just for the sake of it, cause some people won't know, your name, American Zarathustra, can you explain that name for people?
You are the first person that's asked me that. So I'm going to give you the
really?
First person award. Yeah, I don't know why. No one's ever asked me. Thus Spoke Zarathustra by Friedrich Nietzsche. Okay, I'm a comic book artist as well. And so a long time ago, I put it together, the Ubermensch is Superman. And that was kind of, I thought, oh, what's there must be something in this book, this America, this Thus Spoke Zarathustra. And Also, I lived in Asia for 5 years. I studied Buddhism for 20 years, Kung Fu, Qigong, all these things. And it's kind of like a Western existential Buddha from Germany, which is an amazing parallel to me, you know, and something that I don't think anyone who hasn't studied Eastern philosophy would see that parallel. So my thinking was, we need a new Zarathustra. We need a new an Aryan man who is above the din, above the, you know, the kind of the mob, as it were, to, you know, show the way that we must evolve in and through the arts and philosophy, all these various things. So it's an ideal that I strive for. And I do what I can. I think through my arts that I'm just trying to work as hard as I can to create that model for others.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you very much, American Zarathustra. And I've linked to your link tree, which has all of the links that people will need. So including your YouTube channel and Twitter. So I think people will be able to find you quite easily. So I hope they do. And I hope that they get involved. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Okay, man. Thank you so much. And Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas, and good Yule, and and Happy New Year to you as well. So thank you for taking part.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right. Thank you. And I'll be back in a very short order with E. Michael Jones, and that will be on DLive only. So please make sure you're subscribed to me on DLive. In the meantime, I hope you enjoyed this one, and I'll see you soon.